All of us encounter people in our daily lives who don't do what we'd like them to do. Our expectations fail to have us satisfied and pleased of the outcome we expect. We have a dispute with a customer service, a representative on the phone, or with a friend, or with a spouse, or with a total stranger standing in line at the grocery store. In situations like this, we can feel tempted to either respond combatively or contest our authority, even if you don't actually possess any. We might threaten the other person with a consequence, or we might offer an incentive in exchange for compliance. Either way, we try to assert our will. Rarely do we take time to hear the other person out, to empathize with his or her concerns, and to work out a solution that leaves everyone satisfied.
A Greek Abroad.
Well, it's quarantine time, and we're here with Alexi at the academy. Very privileged, by the way. We've been working out. We have plenty of space to do our things. And also, another reminder that that's probably the 7th episode of Greek Abroad. So thanks to all the listeners that have been tuning in and listening to this, to all the experiences that we have to share. Hey, Alexi.
Hey, Steph.
Good to have you here.
It's good to be here.
First time I'm doing this with another tennis player, someone who's in the same environment as me.
First time I'm actually doing a podcast. So
a podcast for you as well, I guess.
Or anything, yeah.
Me personally, traveling the world, and Alexi as well, sharing the same kind of lifestyle with me. You like traveling. I know that. You've traveled to Iceland last September. Yep. You went to Iceland before me, and I saw it on social media.
Yep.
How was it?
It was probably the most amazing experience of my life. You know, I've only just started, you know, traveling by myself and my girlfriend. And, you know, we went, our first holiday together was in Santorini in Greece.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was unbelievable. But Iceland, I think, tops it by a little bit because, you know, there's so much stuff you can see in Iceland and just so many experiences that you have. We went and saw all the waterfalls that they have. You know, they have the exploding geyser that they have coming out of the ground, like water,
right?
20 meters up in the air, which is, you know, all these beautiful things that the earth gives you, and you get to see all that. You know, it's unbelievable, and it was unbelievable.
And it was something it was in your bucket list, wasn't it?
Yeah, me and my girlfriend, we have notes on our notepad, and we have holiday destinations where we want to
all
go.
All of them listed, yeah.
And the funny thing is that you know, I've known my girlfriend for quite a while, and we only started dating last year, but we went to school together when we were 10 years old. So
We've
known each other for a long, long time. And, you know, back when we were talking, we also told each other where we would go on holidays. And
it's beautiful.
It's funny how it's all turning out to be true, and we're actually going to where we always wanted to go together. So it's great.
This is great that you get to share it with someone else and discover the world, be a traveler and explore new cultures, meet new people. That's something that I've been always fascinated, you know, just getting out of my comfort zone and going places, seeing new landscapes. It's, it has happened a lot of times in my life where I find myself pretty much introverted, I would say. When I was young, I didn't really have many friends. At school, I was bullied and everything. I always found difficult to express myself. And through all of that I've been doing recently, you know, of different hobbies that keep me entertained and sort of like discovering my self path. So do you like socializing and meeting new people?
Well, I think same as you, growing up also didn't have many friends, but that was mainly because, you know, I was traveling the world. I left school when I was 10 years old.
Where did you go to school?
I was doing online since I was 10 years old. So it was just me and my brother. I was lucky to have a younger brother by 1 year. Yeah, homeschool. So I had a younger brother. I still have my younger brother. He's a year younger than me, and I was lucky to have him around my whole life. Also, growing up, I didn't have many friends. The only friends that I had were the kids who I was competing with on the junior circuit, you know, on the 10s, on the 12s. You've been through that. I only started socializing, let's say, 3 years ago when I actually started going out and meeting friends and, you know, actually going to like restaurants with friends and stuff. And it was something that was fun for me, but it wasn't something that I necessarily needed.
Needed, yeah, exactly.
I don't need it. Like, I'm very happy staying at home with my family, you know, because I don't get to spend much time with them. So
yeah, you can balance these things
I can balance
together.
It out, yeah. And for me, I'm kind of right now enjoying the quarantine life, you know, just spending as much time as possible with my family and my girlfriend. So, you know, and it's something that I think a lot of people take for granted is spending time with their families. And then well, us tennis players, we don't really get to spend much time with them because we travel 11 months of the year.
That is correct.
And we get to see them, I think, 1 week a month or something, maybe not even, maybe 2 weeks every 2 months. So it's difficult. And socializing wasn't really part of my life, and it's something that I can live without.
It's interesting you say that. I have these moments, this certain periods of time where I really like being on my own and not being around people. I just feel like it can get very toxifying and just mentally drain whilst being, you know, around many people, where I just feel like I have to be, you know, constantly catching up and talking and socializing and just being someone who I really want to be, but sometimes it's just too much for me, you know. And I do like spending time alone. Sometimes it's just to clear out my head and do things that I enjoy doing besides that. And I don't know if you're the same. You said you like some alone time with your siblings, with your family.
Yeah. Let's say after a long tour that we've had, let's say the American swing after Wimbledon, you know, you're 6-7 weeks away from home. You don't see them.
Last year.
You're in and around your team, you know. I have my tennis coach. My mom travels with me everywhere, and sometimes I have a fitness coach traveling with me. So that's four people that I see constantly. And
but you feel good with them, you know.
I feel good with them, you know. But you know, it gets tiring after 7 weeks in a row. It gets tiring. You sometimes you want to kill them. Sometimes you want to, you know.
It's just too much.
It's just what it is, you know. And as much as they help you, it's like you wouldn't be where you are without them. But when you come home, you know, you do want to just chill out and just spend as much time as possible in your room, you know. Or maybe I don't like to spend, you know, 10 days by myself. I'll get lonely. I'll get bored. I won't be able to do anything. But one day in my room, you know, playing PlayStation, just spending my time, you know, with just myself is good.
Investing in yourself.
Investing in myself. And yeah. I think that's important. Like, you want to have time for yourself also. Like, as much as you're spending your time playing the game of tennis, you want to have some time for yourself.
Correct.
And I think that's important. But
do you spend much time on social media and just the internet in general? Because it's such a 21st century thing, the way it has evolved and changed.
Yeah.
And humanity, like, it's crazy, right?
Yeah, I think.
How much we depend on the today's technology.
Yeah, it's funny. I watched a movie yesterday, The Social Networking. It's about Mark Zuckerberg and how he started Facebook. Very interesting movie. And you know, it's funny how they lived without all that stuff. It's
yeah,
so
back
different.
Then,
it's sure. So different to how we live now. And I would say I'm one of the people who are addicted to it. It's probably normal for most of the population.
The majority of the world
is, yeah. And I wake up in the morning and I go on Facebook and I go on Instagram and I have a look at that stuff. And you know, it's a habit that you want to kill, but it's also a habit
it's there
and it's you just want to do it. And if you don't have anything to do when you wake up, you do it.
And it just seems normal. Like, this is how the world operates every single day.
Yeah, it's normality.
This is where all the information goes in, and just that's where you can catch up with the world in a way.
But I'll tell you one thing. It's funny. There's a thing on screen time, right? On your phone, settings, you have screen time.
Screen time, yeah.
And funny thing is that when I'm alone on tournaments, say I got my own room, I'm on social media a lot. But when I get home, or mostly when I'm with my girlfriend, my screen time goes down 7 hours.
Oh.
So I'm barely on my phone. Like, people can't connect me because I'm with someone who I enjoy being with. Like,
and it's a priority.
And it's a priority for me. Yeah. Every time is a priority for me, you know, to spend time, as much time as possible with her. But then when I'm alone, I go back to the old habits and I'm back to 9 hours a day on the phone or something.
No, I get that.
It's crazy.
Sure. Can I ask something? Because, like, I don't know if I'm the only, probably not. I don't think I am the only person doing that. But during competition, I try and declutter as much as possible from my phone and minimize my phone usage to as minimum as possible. Yeah. You're probably a different case to mine. And I don't know about other players, but I just find it so distracting and so kind of like creates anxiety seeing information about me on the internet while I'm doing my job. Because, you know, it's a certain routine that goes in every single day. You have to wake up, you go practice, you play, go play a match. Same circle keeps repeating itself every single day if you keep winning, of course. So I find myself so overwhelmed and stressed using my phone during, you know, these weeks that I'm competing that I just shut it off.
Yeah.
And people don't understand that, but that's how I manage to operate, and that's how I find balance in my competition week. So that's how we would call it. I mean, for some people it works a certain way. For me, it obviously works this way. And also, these are actually, I wanna list out a few things that I think not just for me, but also for other people, it is important. Here are a few things that I should do less of on the internet. Post about a meaningful experience when I could be having an actual meaningful experience. What's your point on that?
I don't really understand it.
You put emphasis and you prioritize posting about a meaningful experience rather than just having and living that actual meaningful experience.
Absolutely.
Without caring if other millions of thousands of people are going to watch what you have uploaded. Another thing is browse my Twitter feed during breakfast. This is something I should definitely minimize waking up in the morning.
It's funny that you said, like, when you're playing tournaments, you take out your social media, you try not to be on your phone. When I play tournaments,
people tag you, people mention you all the time.
When I try play tournaments, you know, I don't get as much tagged in much stuff as you do, obviously.
Video, I understand.
But I don't go on Twitter whole tournament because that's my news outlet. That's the only time, that's the only way I read the news. Like, I don't go and read a newspaper or anything. Twitter is the only thing. And during a tournament, I don't go on my Twitter.
Yeah.
I don't want to see what people say.
You don't need it.
And after you lose, you get all the betting stuff on your phone. Like, it's the first thing that you get, all the people who lose bets.
Everyone gets that.
And you get that. And that's ridiculous. But you see that. But
yeah, you don't have to be.
That you have to block out.
For sure. I completely agree with that. And it kind of influences. Well, to me, it took a while for me to realize that. But what I understood is that it had a big impact in the way I performed. Yeah. So that's why I just took it off and went back on it after the competition has ended, or maybe if I have a little bit more time in between tournaments. Another thing is click on articles I don't really want to read. Compare my life to the lives of other people.
Yeah,
I find myself often like, I don't really read the news much, but then there are certain days where I'm like, you know, I haven't been catching up with the world. What's the, you know, what's happening lately? So let me just see what's happening out there. And I force myself to click an article just to kind of like catch up and see what sort of thing.
I'm not like that. I think I'm more of the guy who would click an article if he finds it interesting. For me, I really love sport, you know, basketball, football, NFL.
You read a lot about that.
I read a lot about that. And right now I'm really into football, soccer. Not American football, but football.
European.
European football. English especially. Like, I'm really reading a lot of articles about the past great teams in the world. For example, Manchester United and all that, and the great teams.
So you like sports history?
Yeah, sports history. But also I'm really interested in tactics of football. The way tactically they play the game.
You're not even playing yourself.
I know, but I'm really interested. And for some reason, the funny thing about me is that I really, really like football. And I think it's maybe on par with tennis on how much I like it.
Is it something?
It's something that I want my future to be revolved around, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I want something in football my future after my tennis career. And that's
very
something that's on my mind.
It's fascinating.
Yeah.
Another thing that I should do less off the internet, it's click of videos, for example, for songs I like on YouTube without waiting until the end, because I have seen another video I like. My brother does this so often. We're watching a video on YouTube and he's like, oh, here's another one I really like. Man, I'm like, bro, the music video hasn't even like, it's not even in the middle of it. Why you, exactly. Anyways, that's one of the things. Another thing is stare at emails without answering them. It's a major thing that I've been doing lately. Wanting to go offline without going offline. Have you ever?
I've
procrastinating.
I never even say that I'm going offline because I know I can't.
You can't. You can't handle the pressure, right? So, what are your overall thoughts about that? Like, do you have any advice for? Because it's quite tense out there, being on the internet all the time, depending on it, and wanting to feel connected. It's like it almost feels like one day our, you know, beds will be our phones. It's insane how much we're I wouldn't say attracted, but close with technology nowadays in a way. It's kind of, it can become Mate. Scary. Like robots are becoming like, they build robots, they create robots that in a way have developed like feelings, and they're just so far away with it.
Mm. Yeah. And like, I look at my apartment, I look at your apartment, and most of the stuff in this apartment is electronics.
Electronics.
Yeah. And it's just the way the world is right now. It's revolved around electronics. And
well, you don't see my, like, I have a lot of
tech. Jeez, you got tech.
I have a lot of tech.
You got TVs, cameras, a lot of stuff. I've got TVs, PlayStations, phones, iPads. I've got all the whole lot.
Sometimes it's good to be traditional.
Yeah. It? And, you know, you go into, let's say, it's never happened to me, but like, you could go and rent an Airbnb that has no electronics in it. And what are you going to do? There's people will, how will did not people, people live, will not be able to do it.
How did people live in the 60s?
Because they didn't know what electronics
were. They
didn't
know better.
They didn't know. That's just how they lived, and they weren't given this electronic stuff. Mm. It's like, I say, it's like a drug that you can't get off. Something
it
like
is.
That.
It is. It is anywhere. No, you're right. You're right. It has become a drug, and I don't know if people really understand that, but
it's not like a lethal drug. It's not something that'll kill you. It's something that just takes your time. You could be doing better things.
Major corporate companies that develop this tech to basically, metaphorically, I mean, that feed the world.
And I say it to myself too, like, I'm on the phone a lot and I want to cut down on it, but you know, when I'm bored, I just hop on it. Like when I'm bored, I don't read a book. I hop on this
all the books are digital nowadays.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, Audible. It's not a sponsor, but yeah, maybe one day. The number of internet users has grown rapidly year by year. It is wild to think that back in 1995, no one was on the internet. 60 million people, just 0.4% of the world population. A decade later, in 2005, 1 billion were now part of the internet. 15% of the world's population. And by 2017, those digits flipped to 51%. Now, how crazy is that? Like, that's
insane.
Such a major change.
Yeah.
In a short period of time. I think less than a decade. No, maybe like more than a decade, but still. It's a rapid amount of change.
Yeah. And it's crazy that we're talking about this because of the movie that I watched yesterday. It's all because of those tech geniuses who created such amazing platforms for humans to like communicate with each other. Because this is a way that humans communicate with each other.
I remember my life when I was young.
Yeah.
Without technology. Yeah. I mean, you experienced, you're younger than me. You're still like.
Like, I remember I was a kid. I didn't have an iPad. I didn't have a phone. My first phone was at 11 years old. I got a Nokia, a little Nokia for my birthday. And I was begging my dad, my mom and dad for about 2 years for that phone. And I got a little Nokia. And I was 11 years old.
The one that had a snake game?
That one, exactly. And I used to spend my time building Legos. Lego was my favorite thing to do. And that I had so many Legos and I used to spend all my time building them when I came back from school, and also PlayStation. Like, I've been playing PlayStation.
PlayStation is a classic game of our generation.
Yeah, exactly.
It's probably the only digital.
And right now I'm growing up with a younger sister like you are. And my sister had her iPhone. She had an iPhone at 8 years old. And and me and my brother were like, what? Come on. We didn't get a phone until we were 11 years old. So it's crazy.
Times have changed.
Like, times have changed in such a short period of time, all because of these electronics.
The factor is the rise of the smartphone, which has made accessing communication and accessing the internet far easier than it used to be. Human beings are more connected via technology than ever before, leading to a lot of arguments, a lot of noise, and creating anxiety that can only be settled once you go offline. The internet is the first thing that humanity has built that humanity doesn't understand. Crazy. It is the largest experiment in anarchy that we have ever had. It is an experiment. Emails are faster than letters. Washing machines are speedier than hand washing over a sink or a river. For a lot of our lives, we feel in a rush. We say things like, I'd love to learn a musical instrument. I'd love learn a new language, read more, exercise more. I'd love to invest more in my hobby. If I only had the time. Classic. We often find ourselves wishing for more hours in the day, but that wouldn't be helping anything. The problem clearly isn't that we have a shortage of time. It's more that we have an overload of everything else. It's a modern thing.
It's modern and it's real. And that's just how the life
Let's just change change topics. We've been talking way too long about all that technology, tech, social media. I want to ask you, Alexei, let's just talk about sports because I know it's something that excites you. You said that before. Lots of sports, very active. You did a lot of sports, didn't you?
Yeah. I was
away from tennis. Like, what other sports did you follow, play, or?
Mostly it was football.
You like basketball?
No, basketball. I love basketball. I only got into basketball when I was 13 years old. So that was something that wasn't part of my life growing up.
Were you watching a lot of NBA when you were young?
Well, I started mostly, I started playing a PlayStation game on basketball. And then I started getting into, I wanted to learn more about the players. I wanted to learn more about the game and the history of it. And, you know, then I just started really watching more
deep
and more
into
and more.
It, yeah.
Like, I'm deep into most of the, like, all the top sports, to say NFL. I could probably name you 80% of the NFL players, and they have, I don't know, 40 players per team, and they have, like,
that's
more than 20 teams. So it's, I love sport, and I could probably name you every player on every team in the Premier League right now in football. And in basketball, I could name you every player on every team in basketball. So it's, I really enjoy learning about all these sports, and I really enjoy learning new sports. And
Is it something you would like to do if tennis wasn't part of your life?
Yeah, definitely. But I think I'd be a football player.
Soccer player.
Yeah, soccer player. I'd definitely be a football, because it was between tennis and football. And I grew up and I had to make a decision at 10 years old what to play. And I think that's very common with sportsmen, because they play two sports growing up. And for me, it was to play tennis, because we went to a height doctor who could predict your height in the future. And he told my mom that I would be from 195 to 205 meters. And if you're that tall, then it doesn't really work out with football. You have to use your legs, and you need to,
Are there any tall football
there
players?
There are. And
like over 2 meters tall?
Yeah, there are. And as a joke,
I remember, was he playing for Liverpool?
Crouch.
Crouch, exactly. Yeah. Crouch, I want to say, yeah.
Peter Crouch.
Yeah, he was pretty tall, I remember.
He's over 2 meters, 205 or something like that. And I used to make a joke. Now I make jokes to my mum, who we decided to play tennis mutually, but she was really pushing for tennis. And I make jokes to her every now and then, saying, look, this player is over 2 meters, this player is over 195. You know, I could have been a football player. And, you know, we just laugh about it now. But I really think tennis was the right decision, and I don't know.
Well,
if
you had taken that choice, then this podcast would have never happened.
No, never.
So you're good with tennis?
Yeah, I'm good.
Can I ask you, what was the first year? Because we're both part of, we used to be part of Champ Seed, the Murat Hudin's Academy.
Yes.
Now it's, what is it? I forgot. I'm away
from Muratoglu.
Team M. That's
team
right.
M.
Team
yeah.
M. Team M. When was the first year you came here at the academy?
I came, I think it was, when did I win? I came in 2017. Came in 2017. I came a couple months before I won the French Open Juniors, and that was 2017. So I've been here for 3 years already.
Talk a little bit about junior tennis, because it's something past our current, you know, it's just, it's in our agenda, in our portfolio, like
it's hectic.
Part of the past. It's hectic.
It is hectic. I tell you now that junior tennis is nothing like
compared to
a pro.
A pro, yeah. Because there are like, it's something, I would love to talk about that, because there were so many players, not just in our generation, but also in the past, that were really doing well in juniors, and they never made it to pro. And there are many cases like this.
Yeah.
And the transition, it is so difficult.
It's very
and
difficult.
People don't understand that. It is really difficult, and you have to have your head grounded and just focus on the process and not think too much of yourself. It is very important.
Yeah.
I know players that, they thought they were good juniors, and they thought it automatically means that they're gonna make it to the professional level of tennis. But it's a big mistake. It isn't like this. You have to, in a way, you have to start all over again. It's a new circuit. It's a new
Definitely.
Tour. You start from futures. You build your way up, and
you build your way up. Futures are completely different to challenges, and challenges are completely different to the ATP tournaments. And it's just like that. You got to restart on every level that you get up. I looked at it as levels. Juniors was the first level. Then you go up to futures. Then you go up to challenges. Then you go up to ATPs. And for me, it was when I would win a tournament in each of those levels, I would move up and really push myself in the next. So I won a Futures, I play Challengers only. I won a Challenger, I play ATP moving on. Only. And I move on. I try to get out of it as quickly as I can.
Were you also, when you were playing the ATP Junior Circuit, were you also combining it with some Futures? Because I think that was also very important to kind of have that professional and junior combination, you know, to kind of like compare. That actually helped me a lot.
Yeah. And
like seeing that comparison, the difference in the level going from one to another, it helped with my growth as a player, developing. And I always had tournaments to play. Like, of course, I had to, you know, put a limit to it. I just couldn't play every single week. That's not a, you have also have preparation weeks where you prepare. And but did you play a lot of juniors? I don't think you played a lot of juniors.
I played, French Open was my last tournament that I played as a junior, and I was 17. I hadn't turned 18 yet. I was turning 18 in August. And yes, at the start of 2017, I was playing a little bit of Futures, a little bit of Juniors. So I went from Aussie Open, played some Sharm El Sheikh Futures in Egypt. You know, those are great.
I've never played those.
And then I played a couple Futures in Spain on clay. But, you know, I was never doing well in Futures when I was playing Juniors. And
it was part of the process.
It was just part of the process. And it was something that, shit, these guys are actually better than Juniors. But they were physically stronger than you. They weren't better than you. As a tennis player, you were miles ahead of them as a tennis player, or I was, for example. And I kept telling myself that I knew that I was probably a better tennis player than most of them there. But I just wasn't there physically yet.
Development.
It was just development, and that's how it is. But for me, after I won the French Open, Juniors was, that's it. I'm done with Juniors.
Yeah.
That's it.
And it was a good decision,
I gotta move on. I had a lot of pressure to play Wimbledon that year and go back to back. But I didn't. Mm-hmm. I said, no, I'm done.
It was a good decision.
And it was a good decision on my part.
And it was something like you were aiming, like to win a junior Grand Slam, and it happened. Yeah. And I think, I mean, people don't realize like juniors, okay, for sure it is important to get some sort of experience and taste of what it is playing the junior circuit, but you don't have to stick to that all your junior years. I think as early...
You look at Chapo. He didn't play any juniors.
Oh yeah,
he barely played any juniors, and he went straight to Futures, and then came to Juniors. I think on his second last year.
Same with Felix
and Felix too. I played a couple Futures. I mean, a couple Juniors with Felix.
He was done pretty early. I think he had like two more years left on the
Juniors. Hell, he made what? He won U.S. Open Juniors, and that's it.
And that's it. And I think that he could play two more years after that. So he was.
Felix is a specimen. Felix is really, I think, he's a very good tennis player.
No, I personally really
and he's
as well,
been
yeah.
like that. Like I've known him since 10 years old. You know, I played an under 10s final against him in Italy in Porto San Giorgio, and it was, I mean, the semifinals, and it was
his development. Now we were talking about the he was like a developed, a grown up man
at a young
age when he was like 16 years old.
Exactly, and it takes time.
Had a
for different people few, takes different you know, time.
Few things that obviously worked out for him better. Yeah, moving on to we have this new part of the podcast called Ask Whatever.
Ask Whatever.
I'm gonna be asking you questions. First question, what are you grateful for?
My family.
Number two, what are three things you would take on a zombie apocalypse?
Oh, this is my favorite. I would definitely take a baseball bat. I would take a backpack of canned food. And I would also take probably a motorbike or something that I can move around with quite easily.
Easy and fast.
And fast.
Efficient,
Get away from them.
Number three. What would your personal mascot be?
Lion. I wear a lion on my necklace all the time.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, because I'm a Leo.
And you're also a Leo zodiac sign.
And it's something that I've been wearing since I was a really kid. And it represents me, lion.
Number four, what game would you like to redesign?
Redesign? PlayStation game?
Yeah.
Sure. Or a sport?
It doesn't like anything, really.
What game would I like to redesign?
Anything that's
I would say, considered a game. I would like to redesign, you know.
Maybe tennis?
I want a tennis game. I want a really good tennis game out there. I think so far there hasn't been a really great tennis game. The AO game, AO2, is really, like, it's pretty good for me. I enjoyed to play it a bit. But, you know, I want a game that's as popular as FIFA. I know that's a hard ask, but...
As realistic
as it, because you know the footwork, that the technique of the players is not there.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, they do have faces, but they don't have just the animations.
Okay. Number 5. Do you watch the Super Bowl?
I do.
Number 6. What are your favorite junk foods?
Oh, I love Kinder Buenos. So the chocolate Kinder Buenos, the white ones.
I like them too.
Haribos and Doritos. I love Doritos. It's funny, over this quarantine, me and my girlfriend have snacks, and our snack cupboard is filled with Haribos, Kinder Buenos, and Doritos. And we have that every night when we watch a TV show.
As a proud Australian, do you eat Vegemite?
I do. I do like it. I haven't had it in a while, but I do eat it sometimes.
Number 7. Do you have a job?
I play tennis.
I don't know. I don't know what made me say that.
Shit.
That's funny.
Playing tennis is for a job. I think it's more of a hobby that I love. And
so you technically don't have a job, right?
No, I'm jobless.
Unemployed. Number 8. What's your comfort food?
My comfort food. I would say my grandma's pies that she bakes. She bakes unbelievable pies.
What kind of pies?
You know, she bakes, it's a Russian thing. They're called pirashki.
Oh, yeah.
You know them?
Yeah, sure.
And one of the pirashki that she makes is cabbage with egg. And you have that with any food that you eat.
Oh, wow.
And it's really nice. Another thing she does is zapikanka. So it's basically cottage cheese with raisins inside. And then you just put condensed milk on it. And it's really nice.
Oh, God.
Yeah, and she's been cooking that a lot in this Stop quarantine. It. And I'm really lucky.
I'm melting.
It's really good.
Number 9. Do you like being alone?
No, I don't.
Number 10. Have you ever been arrested?
No.
Number 11. Sydney or Marbella?
Sydney.
Tricky one. Okay, Sydney. Number 12. What are your favorite cartoons?
I was talking about this with my girlfriend yesterday, and we were talking about the cartoons that we watch, and I said Ben 10 was my favorite cartoon.
Oh, I watched that.
Ben 10 was unbelievable. It was mine and my brother's favorite little cartoon on, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
Ben 10 was fun.
Number 13, what's the type of music you dislike the most?
Dislike? I would say opera.
Okay.
Opera music, don't like that.
Number 14, do you sing in the shower?
I used to shower with music.
Oh.
And I used to bring my speaker and put it
waterproof speaker.
Yeah, my waterproof speaker. Sometimes I would put it in the shower with me to make it even louder.
Uh-huh.
But most of the time I put it on the sink next to the shower and just blast music and just sing along. But recently I haven't been doing that. I've really been just taking quick 2-minute showers, 3-minute showers.
Oh,
doing what do I do? Like, I just need to wash my hair, wash my body, and that's it. And I'm out of there.
Cold or hot showers?
Hot.
Okay. Number 15. What is your dream car?
My dream car. Well, yeah. I would say right now.
Yeah, one.
I don't really have a dream car. I would like what my next car would be. And I want it to be a Range Rover SVR.
Oh.
So it's kind of big because, you know, small car, big guy doesn't really match.
Correct.
So I'd like a big car, but a sporty car. And an SVR suits it perfectly, I think. You should Google it if you don't know it.
I'll do it later. But I can imagine, yeah. I've seen Range Rovers before.
Yeah, this is like a sporty one and a loud one. It's a good one.
Number 16. What is most important in life?
Happiness. Happiness has to be the most important thing. Like, for me, it's like, sometimes I even think about it. And in my head, I'm like, shit, what I'm doing, I might not be like really successful at it in the future, or something like tennis, for example. I might not really meet my goals or something. Like, that's always a possibility, but it's something that I don't believe in, that I believe that I will, but it's a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
But I just say to myself, if I don't, no matter what, I was happy doing it. I was happy trying it. And I was happy that I had like my whole family around me and helping me as much as possible. And that's the most important thing.
Great. Great answer. Number 17, what is the last film you saw?
The Network.
You don't remember the title? The Network thing. Cartoon Network?
No, it's the one about the...
Oh, the basketball.
No!
No.
The movie I watched last night, Social Networking.
So you were into that.
It's about Mark Zuckerberg.
Okay, cool. And what was it about? I haven't watched it.
It was about Mark Zuckerberg and how he started Facebook and how he backstabbed his business partners.
Oh, yeah. I've read something.
It's cool.
Did he write a book? Not yet.
I didn't read his book, no.
Okay, because I've read this somewhere. That's why. Number 18, Scarlett Johansson or Margot Robbie?
My girlfriend.
It's a good one. So, Alexi, you've spoken of how Zoe Fritz-Songa was your childhood hero. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah, he was unbelievable. You know, I was lucky enough to see his rise in the Aussie Open, how he made it all the way to the finals, and I was there from the other side of the TV, you know, cheering him on. And you know, him, Fernando Gonzalez, and Del Potro were my favorite players, and just the way they all played the game, aggressive, big forehands. That was the way I wanted to play, and that was the way I see myself playing. And
he was on a crazy run.
He was entertaining. He was entertaining, man. Like, and his celebrations after the match, like I would copy it, man. I would copy it in the living room. I would do it, and it was crazy. And you know, yeah, he really influenced my tennis game.
And you
got to
play him this year, but you beat him.
I did, but it was very tough. He had to retire in the fourth set. It was probably the toughest experience I've had as a tennis player. You know, I don't usually cry on court or anywhere. And I was really close to breaking down in tears because he was somebody who was like inspiring to me. And to see him, to play him, and my first time in playing him, he had to retire and he's got an injury.
Mm.
That was tough. But yeah,
it's all right. Don't cry.
I'm not crying, yeah. But you know, I'm getting tears right now.
What's your favorite part about traveling, Alexi? You know, we travel a lot. Nothing.
I enjoy seeing places. I don't know, getting a glimpse of it. But traveling, I don't enjoy the traveling aspect of tennis at all.
Transportation, yeah.
Transportation, airports, flights, all that shit.
All the procedure that goes into
that's a big no for me. I really don't like it. And I think it's overrated too. People say they want to travel, but you know, traveling is not fun.
They don't. Sure. Have you heard of that word before? Bumfuzzled.
Bumfuzzled. No, I haven't.
Yeah, it's a bum fuzzling of how people think of traveling.
Yeah, I'm dumbfounded by it, Steph.
So I guess that was it, Alexi.
That's it.
It's a wrap.
Damn.
It was.
That was enjoyable.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I think it was one of the best podcasts we had so far. Yeah,
appreciate it.
With a star like you. What are you laughing?
A star.
Well, let's call you a star.
Yeah, right.
You deserve the title.
I'll take it.
With a star like you, talking about tennis, talking about traveling, like a lot of commonalities that we share, and just life is great.
No, life is great. I wouldn't exchange it for anything in the world. You know, I enjoy what I do. I love what I do.
Right now, things aren't meant to be, you know. It's just, we're very unfortunate to be living in such...
But you know, you got to look at the positives. You're spending time with your family.
Well, for sure. I agree with that.
You could be like somebody like my brother who's right now in the States all alone living with another family, and it's not fun, and he'd rather be here with us
Is he studying?
What keeps him sane, I think, is the 2 weeks he had because he was getting final exams done.
Oh, yeah.
And he just finished them now, so I'm not sure what he'll be doing now. Probably playing a lot of PlayStation.
But no, you're right. We should, you know, enjoy what? We should be fortunate of what we have.
Exactly.
And we should appreciate every single thing.
Yeah.
We have space to play tennis, to work out, to be active every single day. And not many people are in the same position we are. So
yeah,
that's great news. And also you have the opportunity for such things. I hope you guys all stay safe, sane, take care of yourself, of your families and your loved ones. The people that they get to spend time with you in these difficult times. It's slowly getting better. It's healing. It's getting better. And soon we won't have this COVID-19 thing anymore, which is great. We'll get to reconnect. I really hope, Alexi, we can do this podcast again because that was very enjoyable, really.
Yeah.
To open up and just talk about
things
that...
Mate, I live below you, so...
Yeah. Well, that's an extra reason to just, you know, do the podcast.
Yeah, man, I'm cool with it. Just spend some time doing it. It's fun. I enjoyed it.
Do you speak Spanish, you said? A little bit, right?
I speak a bit of Spanish, yeah.
How would you close that in Spanish?
Muchas gracias a todos para escuchar esto y hasta última vez.
Wow, great.
I don't know if that was all correct.
Hasta última vez.
It's all right.
Hasta próxima vez.
That's great.
You're cutting that. I don't want that out there.
No, it's all right. I'm going to say something in Russian.
Oh, Russian.
Yes.
Why don't you say something in a language you're not really familiar with?
Okay, you don't want to say anything in Russian? Okay, I know you speak better Russian than me. That's a fact. You've proved that in your interviews. And no, I have to agree. Your Russian is probably better than mine. But you know what? We'll just have to do it a quiz.
Let's have a Russian off. A Russian
trivia quiz.
Off.
Yeah. I don't know if that's how you call it. But anyways, thanks to everyone for listening. And also thanks for Anchor for making the distribution of this podcast possible to all the platforms out there. I don't really remember, but it is available in Apple Podcasts and Spotify and also some other podcast platforms. So Anchor makes that possible. So I would like to thank them for giving to everyone with ideas and just aspirations and wanting to make a podcast possible. It's great once again. Thanks for listening. And I was thinking for the next time, you could guys submit questions, vocal questions, and we could answer them. That would be something that I'm really looking forward on doing next time. So yeah, peace. Bye-bye.
See you guys.